It's time for Reason.
If it's any one of those other four candidates, that if they're the governor, then it's going to be the fight of stagnation all session long. We're going to be even more frustrated. We're going to have the legislature creating bills. The governor's going to be vetoing it. And then we're going to be fighting all season long on whether we can get enough to override the governor's veto. That's really what the session's going to come down to. The anger in Kansas is going to rise beyond what we've even seen over the last couple of years.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Then I get on my knees.
That's what I'm talking about. Welcome into the Voice of Reason. Hour number three, the Voice of Reason, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on the Big Talker. 1480 on the AM side, 102.5 on the FM side, KQAM, simulcasting on TV as well, KGPT TV channel 2610. Good morning. Welcome aboard. It's an honor to have you along today on a Wednesday. Hashtag Freedom Loving Wednesday. That's the way we roll each and every day, and we appreciate you hanging out with us today, as we do every single day. 7 minutes past the hour, 316-721-8255, 316-721-TALK. If you want to join in, we are, as far as I'm aware, not on Facebook Live today. We usually are, but it's been blocked twice, and I'm not sure why. Yesterday, we had a phenomenal day on the Facebook Live. A lot of people checking it out, going on the daily survey and the poll that we were doing, and it was really cool. And then we end up seeing the fact that twice today, it went down, it was blocked. We tried to put it back up. It worked for about 45 minutes, then it was down, and it was blocked again. So we're just not going to worry about that today. I think it's time for us to move to a different outlet when it comes to broadcasting on social media. Maybe we'll go to YouTube or something, not sure. But twice today, we're getting blocked, and that's just not cool, man. So nonetheless, here's a theory, though, too. What I started doing was that we started putting all the guests onto the intro of it, of who we're having on the show, and I did mention that we were discussing marijuana today. Now, as you know, this discussion gets brought up a lot on the program, and I get a lot of heat for it because I haven't necessarily been on board with the legalization myself. I've come from Colorado. I kind of saw it. You know, we have, but I love the discussion. But I mentioned marijuana on there, and I got a message from a listener who said, hey, experiment here, social experiment or censorship experiment. What if you get rid of the marijuana thing in the title of the feed and maybe that's what's blocking it? And then I was like, oh, mind blown. Mind blown. So I don't know. That could be it. We might have to do a little testing your theory on there. Nonetheless, speaking of, I'm really excited to get to our next guest. We've had her on the show before. She is a marijuana attorney. She's been working really hand in hand with the legalization of what's going on down in the Oklahoma area and tracking a lot of the fight nationwide. Sarah Lee Parrish is back on the line with us here. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm great, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you coming back on. We always enjoy chatting with you. I got to say, this is a discussion that's gone very mainstream. It has really changed and evolved over the last couple of years, and we're in a lot different position when it comes to the marijuana industry than what we were, say, when Colorado passed their legalization a few years ago.
Oh, that's so true, Andy. It really is. And let me say thanks again for having me back on. It's great to be with you today.
Absolutely. And no, we love chatting with you.
Today is an historic day in that you probably know Canada has legalized the use of marijuana recreationally. Mm-hmm. And today is when it goes live. It's now legal recreationally in Canada. So we're kind of looking at their country to see what happens. It's the first major world economy to do that.
It is
going to be a very interesting social experiment up there, from which we all can learn, I think, if we pay attention.
I agree. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens up there for sure with today going and, you know, seeing kind of where this goes from here on. I think doing it as a nationwide thing is going to be different from what we've done here with some of the states and some of the statewide. I mean, as I mentioned, I came from Colorado and I saw the battle going on for the legalization medically and then recreationally in Colorado. We've seen some of the other states do it as well. Now, Oklahoma going towards it's towards the medical side, but it was kind of, I don't know, and maybe you can enlighten us on this a little bit. It started off as the medical side of it with the growing, with the distribution and with the sales of, but it's so open-ended. I think it's going to turn into recreational pretty quickly. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, you know, Andy, I think that's highly likely. Although under 788, which is the state question that we passed over the course of the summer, it's clearly limited to medicinal use. And there was a group who tried to garner enough signatures to get the recreational on the ballot in November, and they fell short of that, I think primarily because of time and manpower versus opposition. Mm-hmm. But they have sort of likened ours to recreational just because, you're right, it is such an open-ended law that we've passed.
Sure. When it first came out is when we talked to you, when it first happened, and you had talked about the record number of people that were going in applying for the licenses to grow, applying for the licenses for sales. Where are we at in Oklahoma? Is it still booming right now? Is it still really big, or has it kind of faded off a little bit?
No, you know, it continues to grow, Andy. It's very interesting, and I always check the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority's Monday morning tweet because it tells us how many have applied and been granted licenses. And as of this past Monday, would you like to hear the numbers? I've got them. I always keep them on my phone.
Yeah, please do.
Easy reference. As of Monday, there had been 9,928 patient licenses granted, 88 caregiver, and 1,941 commercial business apps, for a total of just under 12,000. And on the commercial business apps, which includes your growers, your processors, and your dispensary applications, the breakdown was, let me see where that is. I've got it. 589 dispensary applications, 925 grow applications, and 248 processor applications. And of course, one of the things that people are discussing is whether or not the number of patient license applications will rise, and they think that it will, up to, oh, I've heard numbers north of 80,000. And once physicians start to prescribe medical marijuana more and more, then I think we'll see those numbers rise.
It's very good. Well, I mean, those numbers are already high, I think. I think they're pretty wild, just the enthusiasm of that when it comes to the growing, to the dispensaries, to the sales of. Now, the dispensaries, are they going to be kind of like how Colorado's set, to where it's very tricky to be able to get anything with an out-of-state driver's license? You need to have the card, obviously, in order to get anything for the medical purposes of. But what kind of restraints and what type of limitations are going to be if you go to the dispensary to try and purchase something?
Well, you're going to have a license to even be able to go in. That's right, Andy.
Sure.
And we do have a reciprocity provision so that if you have a patient license from another jurisdiction where it's legal medicinally, then that will be honored in our dispensaries, which is kind of like the practice of law. If we have, you know, reciprocity with another state, you can mm-hmm. go through a few minor obstacles and then. So it's a good thing, I think. It's a good thing. Interestingly, one of the most important developments in Oklahoma recently has been that our legislative committee, who's been meeting and studying this and taking testimony for weeks and weeks, has finally submitted a working draft to our State Board of Health for testing requirements on the medicinal marijuana that will be grown and dispensed here in Oklahoma, because as you may know, 788 was so broad, it didn't even include any testing provisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone in the industry and the patients, I think no one will disagree with the fact that we need some kind of testing apparatus to be sure that the product that's being dispensed to patients is high quality and not contaminated. So
sure.
That's kind of an interesting development down here this week.
Sure. And even, I mean, the consistency of, I know Colorado had an issue with the labeling that was done on some of the packaging of the THC level was completely off. I mean, I think only like 18% of the labels were accurate because each plant was grown with a different level of the THC, and they were trying to work on the consistency there. But along with that, has there been any discussion on the requirements for the medical requirements in order for you to obtain the card? I know that that was pretty vague in 788 as well. Originally, it was, there really wasn't a requirement that, you know, whether it was, you know, a cancer patient or someone who tripped and skipped their knee kind of thing could, you know, go to the doctor and they could essentially get the doctor's note for this.
Right. And to my knowledge, there have not been specific guidelines that have been set out by, for example, the Oklahoma Medical Association on what the bar would be for a doctor to prescribe it. They've left it to the discretion of the individual doctors. And due to the fact that medical marijuana can alleviate a lot of issues that patients may have, I think depending upon the doctor, it may be prescribed frequently. You know, I've read articles about how medical marijuana can literally wipe out seniors' whole drug cabinet. You know, they take a pill and then they take another pill because of the side effects of the first pill, and then it's really sad. As you age, sometimes you end up getting on a lot of prescription meds, and according to the sources that I've visited with, this can be overcome if you're willing to try medicinal marijuana. It may be able to wipe out a lot of those prescription medications.
Sure. Talk about the mainstreamness of this. I used to work at a bank, used to be a personal banker, and I remember that when businesses would come in trying to open it up business accounts, they were not allowed to open an account if they were associated with this industry in any way, shape, or form. It just wasn't allowed by not only banking law, but then by company policy as well. That's beginning to change a little bit because I saw a headline that said that soon you may be able to buy marijuana with a credit card, meaning that the banks may begin to start accepting this. Is that true? Where are we at with this going towards that way?
Well, I think we're moving in that direction, Andy, but I also think that until the federal government acts to either provide a safe harbor for businesses and banks in states where it's legal, or until it's legalized on a national level here, as it is in Canada, that there are going to be some holdouts as far as credit card companies who will not want to make it available. They won't want to make their cards available to purchase it. And I think we're seeing a shift in a few small regional banks and in some credit unions who are willing to bank cannabis customers. You probably know of Sundee Seafried's Navigating Safe Harbor book from her credit union in Colorado, and they've been banking cannabis customers and following the guidelines in the famous FinCEN memo from the Department of Treasury for several years. And apparently there is a credit union in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that is proposing to follow suit and do that down here. I'll be interested to see if that transpires.
Sure.
And there was a fellow who is a security officer who came out and said that he was establishing an Oklahoma bank to bank cannabis customers. But then we researched that, and apparently it's not really a bank at all. It's a vault and a great security transport system for people in the industry, but it wouldn't actually provide the full range of financial services that a bank or a credit union would.
Sure, sure. We're talking with Sarah Lee Parrish, attorney for the marijuana industry. Sarah Lee Gossett, Parrish.com is the website if you want to check out a lot of her information here. I've mentioned this before, and we've had this topic, this industry comes up a lot on the show. With the debates when it comes to the elections and the stance of the Republican Party on the platform of marijuana. And I'll be the first to admit that I've not been the biggest advocate for. I've not been the biggest in wanting to see the legalization. But I'm seeing the trends all around the country with what happened in Oklahoma, what happened in Colorado and other states. And I think the cat's out of the bag right now. There's really no way to kind of put the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak. When it comes to this industry, it's here and it's here to stay. I don't think we're going in the other direction any way, shape, or form. What do you think, Sarah?
I agree. I agree, Andy. You know, you'll hear the phrase green tide or the green tsunami, and I believe that's true. And I think that certainly as far as medicinal marijuana is concerned, more and more people are realizing that it has value. They have personal stories where it has assisted their loved ones, or some of them where they've used it medicinally and it's really helped them. And so they're on board with that. And I think once you do that, recreational, as you said earlier, is just a step away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be that next step that's going to happen eventually. We're out of time. We always love the conversation. Sarah Lee Parrish, SarahLeeGossettParrish.com is the website. Please keep us informed on what's going on in Oklahoma and around the country, and especially in Canada, as you mentioned. It's going to be really fascinating to watch them. But, Sarah, we always appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Andy. Take care.
Always a pleasure right there. We'll take a break. It is open lines to you. When we come back, we'll continue this and more. Lots to get to today here on The Voice of Reason, right here on KQAM.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier on The Big Talker, KQAM.